You ready for the word this morning?
Well, listen, as we wrapped up our relationship series last week, and this week, in light of what we're going through as a, not just as a nation, but the world with the coronavirus, I just wanted to share with you this morning and talk to you about the power of peace. And yeah, I was talking to Stephen this morning, and I noticed this on Facebook as well, that you have two groups of people, really three. You know, there's one group that, you know, they're like, oh, you're just making a mountain out of a molehill. You're just making a big deal over nothing. And maybe they're more kind of like an ostrich sticking its head in the sand, and kind of like what Shelley said, what coronavirus? No, I'm fine. No, right? And they don't want to hear anything in the name of I'm not going to be negative. And they just kind of hide from the reality, right? So we don't want to be like that, right? And then the other extreme that we don't want to be like either is, are those people that they're just in full-blown panic. They're the ones that raid the store and why you don't have TP. Okay, you don't have any toilet paper because of them. By the way, and listen, I hope you don't think this is insensitive. I try to find a balance between those two. And I try to, you know, not perpetuate the jokes that are insensitive, but some of them are just good in light of it. And I saw one I got to share in light of TP. You know the plush toys with the crane? You know, you put your money in and spend way too much money, you know, if your kid keeps begging to get it. And you put the money in, the crane drops down, grabs the plush toy. And well, anyway, someone had posted a picture of one of those filled with toilet paper. And it said, hey, this is my new retirement plan. Anyway, and I thought, that's just funny. That's great. I didn't repost it because I thought some people may, oh, this is serious. You're making light of something serious. You never know. So we don't want to just stick our head in the sand and pretend there's not a crisis. Nor do we want to go to the other extreme and give in to the spirit of fear, like Shelley mentioned, when Scripture says God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Now, when I say that, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, that doesn't mean it's wrong or we need to be ashamed if we become afraid. Amen? Just know that God's not going to lead you that. He's not going to give you a spirit of fear. But he's also not going to beat you up and shame you because of your fear. Amen? The Bible says, the psalmist said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. So your fears are something that you can take to the Lord and cast your fear on him because he cares for you. Amen? So he hasn't given us a spirit of fear. It doesn't mean you need to feel bad or feel guilty or ashamed or condemned because of your lack of faith if you're fearful. Just don't stay there. Amen? God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And so we don't want to go to this extreme either, where we're all stressed and wired up, and now we're not being kind, we're not being thoughtful, now we're being selfish because we're in self-preservation mode. That's not the way to live either, amen? And so we don't want to go to either extreme, and I think most people are kind of in the middle, and I think this is where we're kind of trying to navigate, not really sure how serious this is. Don't want to go into full-blown panic because there's a lot of things about it that seem to emulate the flu, right? And we don't get overly panicked about that, right? I mean, we take precautions. We remind people if you're sick, don't go to work or school and wash your hands and all that. We take it serious, and the flu can be fatal, especially to the vulnerable. But at the same time, we don't tend to go to a full-blown panic with it. Are you with me? And so I think people are kind of in this in-between that we just really don't know everything there is about it. And so we're erring on the side of caution, which I think is wise. Amen? But I think kind of that's maybe where a lot of people are is, you know, I don't want to minimize this and be foolish. But I don't know that I want to just go out and, like Shelley said, and buy a cow and 10 chickens either. Amen? Unless that's your thing. So, you know, I think a lot of us are, that's kind of where I'm at, is definitely don't want to be insensitive. Definitely want to use wisdom. Don't want to get into panic and fear and craziness, right? And Shelly and I, we're listening and using wisdom and looking at the pastors that are on our board, other pastors here locally. You know, what are they doing? Are they canceling services? And some larger congregations did, many did not. And so we try to use wisdom and best practices. But I think maybe this is where the majority of people are living, you know, is they're just kind of stuck here in the middle. Don't know really, should I be more worried than I am? Should I chill out a little more? And I think that's kind of where the gamut is. And so I want to share something with you from God's word that I think will encourage you, that I think will help you. And so I have the power of peace, P-E-A-C-E. I have 5 points for you, spelling out an acrostic for the word peace. And I did that so you could remember it and maybe share it with others. So I encourage you, today's message, after we post it on Facebook Live, maybe share it with someone else. Maybe take the points and remind others. Not in an insensitive way, amen? Again, a lot of people are fearful. They're worried. And, you know, we don't want to belittle anyone because they're stressing out, amen? We want to be helpful, not hurtful. So in John chapter 14, verse 27, I want to remind you, Jesus said this. He said, I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace. I love that. I love how Jesus, he is called the Prince of Peace. So I love this, that peace, just like God is love, amen? So if we could say God is love, maybe we could say, you know what, and I know Jesus is God, but Jesus, he's peace. He is the Prince of Peace. When we allow his presence to step into a situation, you can't help but have the end result of peace that passes all understanding, because that's who he is. Amen? Just like God can never show up and be hateful. God can never show up and be unkind, because that's not who he is. His very essence, his very being, he doesn't have love. He doesn't contain love. He is love. Amen? And in the same way, Jesus, I love this. He says, I give you this gift of peace, but it's my peace. It emanates from the very essence of who I am and long to be in your life. Amen? I give you my peace. Not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. So don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. So again, I want to encourage you, that doesn't mean we belittle ourselves or others if we find ourselves fearful or panicking. It just means that we remind ourselves of this verse, and when we start to lean this way, we pull out this scripture and go, oh yeah, I'm not going to yield to this. Amen? This is the one time that you have the right. You can have failure to yield the right away, and you'll be okay. Amen? How many get annoyed when people don't yield at the sign? That's one of my biggest pet peeves, other than you're driving in the left lane going 10 miles under the speed limit. That annoys me too. Get the heck over. It's what the right lane's for, Slowpoke. Movie. Move it. Right? Okay. Y'all are holier than me, I guess. But anyway, and then people who don't yield at yield time, they just oblivious, right? And they're supposed to yield. So think of that. This is one of don't yield to fear. Just blow right past that yield sign. Amen? Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. So someone once said that, you know, humanity, we live in one of three perpetual states. We're either in the midst of a storm, and this can be true not only individually, this could be true for your family, this can be true nationally, this can be true globally for our world, that we're either in the midst of a storm like we are now as a nation with this coronavirus pandemic. We're in the midst of a storm. Whether it's a big deal to you or not, you know what? Those who think it's not a big deal, you know, well, for others, and even if it's not a big deal, perception is reality. Amen? So even if people are overreacting, and I'm not saying they are, then if that is their reality, it still creates a crisis in the economy. Are you with me? And so perception is reality. And so you're either in the midst of a storm like we are now. You just came out of a storm, or you're about to go into a storm. We're constantly in one of those states, right? We're about to go into one, we just came out of one, or we're in the midst of one. And they can be various seasons. And I think maybe the sooner it's why growing up, we never allowed our kids, there was a four-letter F word we never allowed them to say. And it's not the one you're thinking of. You should renew your mind. But there's this four-letter F word we never allowed them to say, and that was fair. It's not fair. And they would get in trouble for saying that F word as if they said another one. Because we wanted to set this mindset in them that, you know what? No, it's not fair, and the world's not fair. And the sooner you learn that life is not fair and life doesn't revolve around you, the better your life will be. Amen? No, it's not fair. It's not. That is a reality. You have to learn to deal with the reality. So in the midst of life not being fair, what are you going to do about it? How is it going to shape the person you're going to be, and how are you going to live in the midst of that? And so, you know, we can be in one of these three states. So what do we do? And just by way of introduction here, you know, there's three ways that you can handle a storm, and there's three examples that we see. And I'm just going to give you the references, and you can read them later for time. But in Mark chapter 4, we see where Jesus is. He has been teaching, he's been ministering, and he tells his disciples that, hey, you need to get in the boat and go to the other side. And he was going to spend, I believe the evening, it had been evening, or evening was approaching, and he was going to stay behind and spend some time in prayer in communication with the Father. And so the disciples get in the boat, and they start to head to the other side, and it says a storm arose. And the disciples are, no, this is a different one. Sorry, this isn't where Jesus was walking on the water. Sorry, Jesus was already in the boat. He went in the boat with them. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. Different story. Jesus is in the boat with them. And when this storm comes, the Bible says that the disciples were so distraught. They were so dismayed and so fearful. And these are fishermen. These are people who are used to storms. They are used to the waves crashing against boats, and they are freaking out. And I love this. The Bible says that Jesus was asleep on a pillow. One of my favorite verses. I think of that every time I lay down at night. Jesus was asleep on the pillow like I'm about to be. Man, he was asleep on a pillow in the midst of the storm. And they woke him up and said, Master, don't you care? We're perishing. And Jesus said he got up in Mark 6, verse 39, and he spoke to the storm, and he said, peace, be still. So in some storms in life, we speak to them the way Jesus did. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Amen? You speak to the storm, and I'm appreciative of the spiritual leaders throughout our nation who are reminding us to, hey, stay positive. Speak words of hope. Speak words of life. And again, that doesn't mean we stick our head in the sand and deny the reality. Amen? It doesn't mean we don't use wisdom. It doesn't mean we throw caution to the wind. But you know what? Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Amen? That word power is the Hebrew word yada. And it literally means death and life is in the hand of the tongue. Mike Kiros is still working on this for me, but I asked him if he would, he's an incredible artist. And I said, hey, would you draw me this picture of this guy's tongue coming out of his mouth with a hand at the end of it? You know, because death and life's in the hand of the tongue. Amen? And so we reach forth with words and we grab those things. And even, and I'm not talking about this name it, claim it, blab it, grab it that goes to the extreme. Oh, claim a Cadillac. Well, work on your Pinto first. I'm not being a proponent of that. But what I am saying is, you know, whatever you say, you definitely bring that into your life. So if you're just talking panic and fear and oh my, and I'm not talking about having an honest discussion where you're, okay, hey, let's just talk about this. What if we have to shut down the business? What is another way we can do this? We're already discussing that. What's another way if they cancel school for another week? Okay, Google Classroom and online learning, which universities already do. And so what does that look like locally? What does that look like for SAISD? Right? They're already thinking that. So I'm not talking about that. That's wisdom. That's common sense. Amen? But what I'm talking about is where you just go to the extreme and it consumes you and overwhelms you. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. So some storms you speak to. And so, you know what? We do need to be speaking. God, I thank you that you're healing our nation. God, I thank you. All the scientists and the powers that be and those who, you know what? You inspired someone to create a polio vaccine. You inspired them to create penicillin. You know what? You can do the same with this. Amen. And so, God, I thank you. You have incredible people. You're giving them ideas. You're leading them. You're guiding their hands in the chemistry lab, and they're coming up with solutions. Amen. So speak life to the storm. A second way is, and this is the one I confused while ago in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus had sent the disciples on, and then later he decides to join them. And by this time, a storm had come. And the Bible says that Jesus was walking on the water. And when Peter sees him, they kind of freak out. Is this a ghost? What? And Jesus tells them, hey, chill, it's me. And you remember Peter says, Lord, if it's really you, then bid me to come out of the boat and walk on water. And Peter did. He actually walked on water. Then he looked at the wind and the waves and the reality of the situation. People don't walk on water, right? And he began to sink, and Jesus reached out and saved him. Point is, some storms we speak to. Some storms, you know what? God will lift you up by the hand out of the midst of the sea, and he'll walk through them with you. And that's what I'm believing he's going to do with our nation. That's what I'm believing he's going to do. Is we need to remember, we may feel like we're drowning globally. The world may feel like, oh my God, you know, I felt like a water walker, but you know what? I'm looking at the wind and the waves. We can't walk on water. Oh my God, what are we going to do? And we need to realize that, you know, Jesus did let him, hey, why didn't you trust me? So he did rebuke him for that, but he didn't leave him drowning in the water, flailing, right? He reached out in the midst of the sea and he grabbed Peter and they walked on the water back to the boat together. And so some storms, we need to realize Jesus will reach down in the middle of our storm. He will pull us out and he will walk with us through whatever storm. And many of you know the reality of that. You've experienced that with things you're going through, health challenges, financial challenges. You've experienced the reality of Jesus reaching into the storm of your life and pulling you out and just walking you through that. Amen? And you know, and thank God, if I was to choose, I'd much rather have peace be still. But you know what? There's not a one size fits all. And so there's a time Jesus said, peace be still. But there's another time he didn't do that this time. He just reached out to Peter and he walked with him through it. Amen? The last one is with Paul in Acts chapter 27. And in Acts 27, if you read that story, Paul tells them, hey, this isn't good. There's going to be this big storm. Lord's revealed it to me. And we do not need to get on this boat and sail. And they're like, yeah, you're a prisoner. Of course. I'm sure God did tell you because we're about to take you. You're under, you know, arrest and we're about to take you to your next destination. Well, so they don't listen. They go in the midst and here the storm comes. And it is rocking the boat. They are throwing stuff overboard. It is severe. And then the Lord gives Paul another word. And he tells them, hey, you know what? All's going to be lost, but every life will be spared. So you're going to lose all your stuff. But the good news is no one's going to lose their life. And he encouraged them with that word. And I love it in the very last verse, I believe, of Acts 27 in verse 44. It says, when the boats broke up, Paul and others, what they did is they grabbed the debris and they floated to shore. There are some storms you just hang on for dear life. And you hang on to the promise of God that, hey, there's going to be some stuff shaken. There's going to be some things that may be a lot different. But you know what? Your life is going to be spared. It's going to be okay. You're going to get to the island. You're going to get to your next destination. So hang on. Come on, talk to me, somebody. And so sometimes maybe, and maybe that's the word we need to think of. I don't know what's going to happen in the next week, next 2 weeks, next month. They say this thing can go for 6 to 9 months. And so let's remember this. We're going to speak to the storm. We're going to trust Jesus to reach into the sea of our crisis and walk us through this situation. And you know what? We may have times where, you know what? We just need to hang on. We just need to grab whatever promise of God we can find. We need to grab each other. If you're not sick. That was a show. Trying to lighten things up. You need to grab, right? And there may be a season where we just have to hang on. Knowing that things may change, things may shift, but we're going to get where we need to be. Amen? So the power of peace, P-E-A-C-E. First one, shouldn't be a surprise, right? So whatever the storm is going on in your life, number one, I want to encourage you, pray. Pray. We know that, but you know, when all is said and done, more is said than done, right? And this is true for me too, all right? I can tend to talk more about prayer than I actually engage in it. But I encourage you, pray. Scripture says if anyone's in trouble, let him pray. Amen? And we do pray for one another. But you know what? It doesn't say, hey, if anyone is in trouble, let him create a prayer chain. Nothing wrong with prayer chains, but it says, if you're the one in trouble, dude, pray. And let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but when I'm in trouble, I guarantee you, I'm going to pray way more intensely about my trouble than you probably would. And you're the same way. Talk to me some, right? When Shelly and I are struggling in our marriage, and don't get me wrong, marriages that are struggling, it's near and dear to our heart, and I pray. But I don't know that I pray as fervently as I did about ours. Talk to me, somebody. Y'all are really quiet. Okay? Right? So if anyone's in trouble, let him pray. Says if anyone's happy, let him sing songs. Right? Listen, this is funny, and I think this is interesting. It says this. If anyone's in trouble, let him pray. If anyone's happy, let him sing songs. Do we ever farm out our happiness? Hey, I'm really happy. I don't feel like singing. Will you sing for me? That's weird, isn't it? Hey, we're creating we have a prayer chain, but we also have like a happy song chain. I know, it sounds ridiculous, right? But isn't it funny how we do it with one but not the other? We know if we're happy, I don't need someone to be happy for me. If you're happy, life's going good, sing, shout, right? Well, if you're in trouble, dude, quit calling everyone else and you pray. You cry out to God. His ear is attentive to your prayer. Again, we're in small groups. We pray for each other all the time. I'm for that. We need to do that. Where two or more agree isn't touching anything, it shall be done. But I think many times we farm out our requests more than maybe praying ourselves. Amen? Can't do that with exercise. There are some aspects of your life spiritually you can't do that as well. So pray. Scripture. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will and in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. And since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, We also know with settled absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the requests made of him. That's good news. Amen. Pray. Letter E. Expect. Expect answers. Expect God to move. Expect the best of people. Amen. Expect the church to rise and shine and be the light of the world that he's called us to be. Amen. Expect good things. Don't allow your imagination. And listen, I listen to the news. Listen to the news. Get wisdom. But we always filter the news and anything. And listen, I'm not talking about denying facts or those that are masters in their craft and research. I am not saying that. But even then, they're not God. They are not. And so we always filter that through the presence of the Lord. Amen. Using wisdom, always using wisdom. We're going to talk about that. But even if it's the worst case scenario, I'm still going to expect God to be God. And I'm not going to allow my imagination to go into apocalypse mode. Right? No, I'm still, it could get 10, 100 times worse. I'm still going to expect God to be who he is. Amen? So I love this verse in Philippians 1:20. Paul says this. He says what? I fully expect and hope. Fully. I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past, and I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ. The Passion Translation says, no matter what, I will continue to hope and passionately cling to Christ. So that's what to expect means. It means passionate hope. Amen? Expect God to do great things mean that you're not just, I'm hopeful. No, I'm passionately hopeful, right? I'm talking about my hope. In the midst of the crisis, hey, I'm using wisdom. I got my hand sanitizer, but you know what? God is my sword and my shield. Amen? So Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Expect. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. So expect. Man, release your faith. Raise your expectation. Amen. And even if things get worse, allow this word to be a prophetic word for you and keep your expectation high about the goodness of God. Amen. Told you we were going to get here. Activate wisdom. In light of everything I said, that doesn't mean we throw caution to the wind. Growing up, there was a friend of my mom's, and she believed because she had faith in the Lord and he was their protector, they never locked the doors on their vehicles or their house. Didn't matter if they were home, went to the grocery store, or went out of town. They never locked their house. And her reasoning was, why do I need to do that? God is my protector. And I'm not saying that is a good thing. I always thought it was weird, and so did my parents. And we grew up locking our doors, and we still do. We used to have an alarm code. We didn't utilize it, and so we ended up canceling that to save some money. But I'm for using lock your door, right? Lock your door. You know what? Many times criminals in our cars, you know what they do? They go by and check the handle. If it's locked, they go to the next car. If it's unlocked, guess what? You're the lucky person. Or unlucky person, right? Just a little common sense goes a long way. Because God's our protector. If they want in, they're coming in, right? At the end of the day, if they want in, they can come in. So at the end of the day, our hope has to be in the Lord, because if they want it, they're going to take it. And if they don't like you and want to take you out. So at the end of the day, you know what? My trust is in the Lord, and I'm just not going to live fearful of that. I'm going to lock my door and use wisdom and common sense in the process, right? But I'm not going to be. So activate wisdom. Proverbs 4:7. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Amen? So wisdom, excuse me. Hey, by the way, wisdom, cover your cough. Sorry, I didn't there, but I'm okay. Have you ever noticed this last week, wherever you go, if you're like, everyone goes, Corona, you got Corona, right? That's what I'm talking about being weird, okay? So most people use wisdom, and it's not just a cough. It's fever and a cough and other symptoms, right? It's not just a cough. It's fever. So most people that have a fever, hopefully use wisdom, common sense. They're not out and about. So just because someone's like that, you don't have to be like, okay, getting will go weird, okay? Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Okay, so here's some ideas for good judgment. Stay away from people spreading fear. Stay away from those trying to damage your dream. Business is over. Oh, what we're going to do? Yeah. Economy, never going to be the same. All right? Spreading fear. Stay away from people damaging your dream. Don't spend time with complainers and those pointing blame. Well, if the president would have acted, whatever. Well, if this would have, well, those people in China. Well, if Tom Hanks wouldn't have gone to Australia. Right? Doesn't help. So stop. Don't spend time with complainers and those pointing blame. Okay? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. We're in crisis mode. Let's fix it. Right? You know, later we'll figure out who started the fire. But while the house is burning, grab a bucket of water and stay away from the gasoline. Let's get it out. And then the powers that be can come in and go, hey, this looks like this was an electrical fire or whatever. Later, when we're all said and done, the researchers will come in and go, hey, here's what we learned from this crisis. Da, da, da. Just like we've had everything, other diseases in the past. Protect your confidence and optimism. Protect it. Be creative about seeing new opportunities as always. So here's the cool thing that I'm really excited about. They told us at the school district, hey, kids are off all week, but teachers are coming back in Thursday and Friday, and we're going to be working on lesson planning for the following week, and including in that lesson plans, a plan B for online learning. The cool thing is I created the website for my school. I built the website on Google Sites. And on the music side, I already have every grade. You go there and click. I already have lessons because I want them to learn over the summer. So if they get bored in the summer driving mom and dad crazy, I created it where, hey, tell them to go there and listen to Beethoven. Tell them to, you know, do this activity. I got it on my music page on my website, right? So the cool thing is, it's already done. It's already created. I need to tweak it. I'm going to add some more to it, but it's already there. So who knows? This can be a whole new other opportunity. Maybe other people will go, dude, how did you do that? Well, for the right price, I'll tell you. Be creative about seeing new opportunities, as always. And yes, wash your hands. Wash your hands, okay? By the way, do you know how long? Most people don't wash their hands long enough. Don't get weird about it, but you should wash your hands for at least 20 to 30 seconds. What we teach our kids at school is we teach them, wash your hands long enough so that you can hum or sing the ABC song, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, or happy birthday to you, happy birthday song twice. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Nope, not done. Happy birthday to you. See how long it is? It's longer than you think. And the reason is, they notice most of us do this, and I've been guilty. So, because we're in a hurry, right? I want to go eat. Yeah, dude, you just went to the bathroom, wash. Okay? But we're in a hurry, right? So we're like, shh, 5 seconds. And they've proven, research, activate wisdom. You didn't kill all those germs. You could have killed and drowned those bad boys, right? Twice. Happy birthday song, twice. And that includes, you know, rinsing all the soap off and everything. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I was just going to say, Psalm 1:1 says that blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And so we take that to mean, you know, you don't want to take advice from Anton LaVey, like the Satanist guy, right? But that's not always true. I mean, ungodly, it could mean unlearned, right? And it says, or stands. So we start off walking. We start off kind of listening. Listen to what they're saying. And then it says we stand in the path of sinners. So then we begin to, that means that we begin to, we stop moving, so we begin to live there. And then it says that we sit in the way of the scornful. Well, that word scornful there really means it would be like, you speak French, but I don't know French, but I'm trying to figure out what you say, right? So when you hear things that go, I don't know if that's right. That's probably God going, I don't know if that's right. This last week, we were out of town because we were celebrating our anniversary, and we went up to Tulsa to see Todd's brother and to see a concert that got canceled. But on the way there, Tulsa has lots of toll roads, right? And so in Dallas, you get on a toll road, they take a picture of your license plate, they send you a bill, right? So, but we're having to pull over every, I don't know how many miles, and pay these tolls at these booths with these people sitting in them.
Which I don't know why they don't spend it on the roads. They're crap.
Oh, I'm telling you.
They're bad. They're really bad.
But Todd talked to his brother, and his brother was like, no, nah, just drive on through. They'll send you a thing like they do in Dallas. Well, I went, that doesn't sound right. Because see, I know that's right in Dallas because they don't have people sitting in booths saying, you need to pay me. So I looked it up, and he goes, hey, it costs a little more, but it's like an administration fee. It's a ticket.
It's a fine for not
obeying
the law.
They send you a ticket. They do take a picture, but they will send you a ticket. And so I told Todd, I said, I'm glad I didn't listen to your brother. I'm glad I got that cash. But we do that.
He's got a pike pass, so it didn't matter to him.
But we turn off our brains. We turn off that voice that goes, wait a minute, that's foreign. That's a foreign language. Don't be listening to that, right? So that's what Todd is saying right here. We begin to, and that word sit, it actually means to marry. So you begin to intertwine your thoughts with their thoughts, and all of a sudden you don't have peace because you're thinking the way they think, right? It's like what Todd said about the, without exaggeration, within 10 yards of crossing the bridge over the Red River, I had a giant pothole, and the rest of the roads in Oklahoma remain just like that. And so what happened was we left the peace of Texas and we entered into the chaos of Oklahoma, right?
John Holler will appreciate this.
Sorry, John.
Pastor John.
But that's what happens when we marry into the wrong thoughts and things that don't sound right and they sound foreign, but we begin to take heed to them anyway.
Amen. Good. Yeah, and so you can go to that to either extreme, right? Where people go, hey, it's not a big deal. No, I don't know that I should make it not a big deal issue. Or those who like, hey, you need to go buy a cow and 500 chickens. Okay, I'm not going to get that weird either, right? Either way could pull you into the ditch. And so activate wisdom. I ingest as long as they're healthy. Okay, we do use wisdom here. If you're sick, obviously don't get out. Just like when you have a cold or you have the flu. That's how we lived anyway, right? If I had the flu, you know what? I don't get to make out with Shelly until I'm healed. I try, she punches me. Don't give me that. Poof. Huh? Stay away. I love you, but not gonna happen, right? Give me a hug. No, you gotta get near to me to give you a hug. Stay away, buddy, right? So listen. If we're sick, we're going to use wisdom, common sense. It's not loving to contaminate, make other people sick. But connect, connect with family, connect with friends. Candace Hicks, she used to be Candace Rogers. She was my first music teacher at Goliad Elementary. Then I had her in Lincoln Junior High, had her as a teacher there as well. And then when I was gone on to get my music certificate, I did my teaching certificate. I did my student teaching with her as well. And so we have a long history, and she just made this great post that I read last night. And she said, you know, hey, I'm usually not one that's given into panic or fear. I trust in the Lord, and he's good, and I believe him, and I trust him. But I just really got overwhelmed the other day. So she said she went to a park by the river, and she said, I was just trying to shake this overwhelming sense of fear and dread about all that's going on in our nation. And she said, I looked up, and a good friend of hers who's a runner was out on the river running. And she noticed Candace and stopped, and she said, I'm so glad she stopped. And she said, we just been talking. Hey, what's going on? And Candace said she just began to share her concerns. Hey, I came out here to try to shake this. I don't know why. I'm normally not freaking out, but I'm kind of overwhelmed. And she said, this lady just encouraged her and shared words of hope. And she said, it changed everything. It shifted her perspective. Amen? And so I said all that to say this. Connect with family and friends. Something happens. There's mutual encouragement when we meet together. Amen? So Romans 1:12 says, both, I love this in the New Living Version. Both of us need help. I can help make your faith strong, and you can do the same for me. We need each other. New King James, I believe, says we can be all mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Again, that's the power of a small group. I can't tell you how many times, middle of the week, tired, you get up the energy to go, and then once you go, at the end, I'm like, I don't know, something about just the discussion in the group. Here in Travis, here in Delphina, Todd may share. Huh? Well, that sets it off. But that's usually the first thing I'll talk about when I get home. Ooh, you missed it, sister. Here's what Amelia and Rob cooked today. But there's something about, something came out in the verse, or someone shared something, a thought that just, man, that's what I needed for the week. Amen? And I can't tell you how many, it's happened probably every time I've ever gone. So that connection is vital. And then lastly, if we'll do those things, if we'll pray, if we'll expect good things, if we'll activate wisdom, if we'll connect with other people of hope that are doing the same thing, then the last E is we'll experience peace. Amen. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. The Passion says, perfect absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you. They confidently trust in you. I love that. Isn't that good? Their imaginations. Come on, think about it. When we use our imagination, we think of the apocalypse, right? We think of stores shutting down. We think of no toilet paper in stores for weeks. We picture how many leaves are on the tree. Are the new leaves out yet? You'll get that later, okay? We right? I got three old T-shirts. Cut them into strips, whatever, right? We think of what our imagination is consumed with the worst. What if we let our imagination be consumed with the Lord and what he wants to do? Amen? Even in the midst of the storm. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of peace, that your peace, it's not like the world. It's not fragile. It's not barely hanging on by a thread, but Father, the peace you give us, it comes directly from you. It emanates from the essence of your personhood, and it changes everything. So Father, Lord, as we pray, Father, help us remember that your ears are always open. You love to communicate with your children. Father, help us expect good things. And Father, in the midst of praying and expecting you to show yourself strong on our behalf, Father, help us remember to activate wisdom. Lord, to use caution, Lord, where people have been, maybe where it's unhealthy, or being mindful to wash our hands, and just common sense, good judgment, healthy hygiene things we should be doing anyway. Help us learn that, remember that. And then, Father, help us stay connected. Father, help us not become so overwhelmed or fearful that, Father, we just close ourselves off. Even if it's just a text or a phone call or to FaceTime, Father, help us stay connected. And Lord, we thank you for the promise that as a result, Lord, we'll experience your peace that passes all understanding. We thank you for it.